purification testing on one corner of the vehicle. So we didn't have to put the complete vehicle into a vacuum chamber, which even Boeing didn't have such a large vacuum chamber available. So we did this testing on one corner of the vehicle, one suspension, one wheel drive, one steering mechanism, and qualified the system this way.
Oh, I see. So absolutely every wheel and every suspension and wheel system, whether it's left front, left right, left rear, or left right, they were all absolutely identical?
Absolutely identical.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that until now.
Yeah.
I thought they might have to be different in some way.
No, they were all designed identical.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we could do the qualification testing on this one quarter of the vehicle.
I see, okay.
We even call this an M/4 assembly.
I see, because, yes, Mr. Romano said the same thing. Mm-hmm. Well, what I did want to ask you was, you've told me some of the most challenging parts of it. What was the most rewarding part for you of working on this LRV program?
Well, the most rewarding was, you know, that the team work was so excellent. You know, everybody was pulling for the project, for the success. I didn't hear a complaint about overtime or working on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
People was just enthused and excited about the program. And I think that made it possible to complete it in such a short time.
Yes.
And of course, the result was the satisfying one when all three of the vehicles performed well. Astronauts had were very pleased and complimentary about the performance.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was sitting, you know, in Houston, and one of the side offices to the control center to be ready and available for any potential problem, I was lucky that really no big problems occurred.
Yes, it's really astounding how well the vehicle worked, except for a few small glitches which seemed to resolve themselves later.
Yes, there was the very first one when they started out and checked out the functioning of the vehicle.
Yes.
Scott reported back that the front steering didn't work.
Yes, that's right.
You probably heard about that.
Yes, I got the whole story on that.
And I was in Houston at the time, and they rushed out to myself, and I had two more guys with me there. Okay, come up with a checkout procedure, what to do to check out what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that, rushed with the checklist to the Capcom, and by that time, and it was only minutes, they decided to proceed with the mission with just one of the steerings operational.
Yes.
And they completed the first sortie with only the rear wheels steered.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, they came out and checked out the system, and everything was working.
Yes, that's true. Mr. Romano said that it was had something to do with the film on the potentiometer or something, perhaps.
Yes, that was our suspicion. Of course, never prove it.
Mm-hmm.
But our suspicion was that because the LAM landed in a fairly early part of the lunar morning, and the vehicle was sitting in a shaded area.
Mm-hmm.
The temperature was still very cold.
Yes.
In that shadow. So because of the cold temperature, the conductive plastic potentiometer, which was controlling the steering function, did not make contact. That was our suspicion.
I see.
So our recommendation was that just exercise the joystick back and forth, left and right, many times, which would heat up and possibly reestablish electrical contact between the potentiometer elements. And that's probably happened as the system warmed up, the lunar surface was warming up in the meantime. So the contact was reestablished and it was working.
Now, where was this potentiometer located?
In the joystick controller.
Ah, it was, okay.
The hand controller.
The hand controller, okay. Okay. I would like to back up a little bit and get a little bit more about your background of I guess, how you came to this country, but then how you joined GM. Could you tell me that?
Yeah, I left Hungary during the revolution, the 56 uprising. And after spending some months in refugee camps in Europe, I was admitted to the United States and arrived to the New York Harbor by one of those troop carrier ships.
Yes.
In 57 February. And they collected all the refugees at Camp Kilmer in New Jersey, which was reactivated after the war for this purpose. And luckily, I spent only 1 week in the refugee camps, and my future boss came by looking for engineers, and he hired 5 Hungarian engineers right on the spot.
And who was that?
Into Detroit. And he was Dr. Becker. He was developing at the time for the U.S. Army what they call this a land locomotion laboratory, which was a lab for the Army Tank Center in Detroit to study the relationship between a vehicle and the terrain.
Yes.
How different wheels and tracks operate on a soil-type surface.
Yes, I've read a lot of his writings in during my research for the rover.
Yes, he had several books and many papers he presented.
Okay.
So I was hired in his group, and that's the time we were setting up this new laboratory, and because I didn't speak English at the time, luckily he was a Polish origin gentleman, and we communicated in German at the beginning. And I was working as a designer draftsman to design the lab equipment at the beginning.
I see, okay.
Until I developed my language expertise, and then as I was working as engineer scientist in this this land locomotion research area. And it was in 57, 58, 59. I worked there about 2.5 or 3 years. And we already then looked into the possibility of lunar locomotion. Because obviously there are no roads up there, and it's a typical application of the research we were doing. So we came up with different ideas for locomotion, track type, wheel type, four wheel, six wheel, eight wheel. We even came up with a screw type of a vehicle, since one of the scientists postulated that the moon is covered with a very thick layer of very loose dust-like material.
Yes.
So everything is going to land on the moon, is going to sink right in.
Mm-hmm.
It was Dr. Gould from the Cornell University who came up with this proposition. So we tested a screw-type vehicle which could screw itself through, even submerged, in such a loose material.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really where we started. And then in 1960, Dr. Becker was offered a job at General Motors, at GM Research in Detroit, and he took me with him, and his job was again to set up something like this land locomotion laboratory for researching military vehicle operation, since GM at the time was interested in supporting the Army in their vehicle development programs.
Okay.
So that's how I got into this field of locomotion research, mobility research.
And I guess that division was moved to Santa Barbara.
That's correct. It was set up in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after that, it was moved to Santa Barbara.
I see.
Then Dr. Becker, Mr. Romano, myself, we all moved here at the same time and set up the research laboratory here.
I see. What, since you've explained to me your work on the LRV, what programs did you work on subsequent to the rover program there?
After the rover program was finished, and because our lab here in Santa Barbara was relatively small, about one third of the people were working on just the LRV project.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of layoffs after this program phased out, and I got involved again with Mr. Romano in electric drive development programs.
Mm-hmm.
Electric drives for subway applications, car, and so other mobility applications.
Okay.
So I was working in that field for several years. We got some government contracts from the Department of Transportation, developed some electric drive systems, not only for trucks, like military trucks, but also for subway cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working on that until 78. And we were about from 70. To 78.
I see.
And at that time, General Motors offered me an overseas assignment in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And because of my European, primarily Eastern European background, they thought that I would be, you know, a good match for what they had in mind at the time. Late 70s, to develop new business areas with the communist countries.
Hmm.
That was at the time of détente.
Yes.
A kind of a loosening up of the arrangements with Khrushchev and the American government. So GM also thought that it would be advantageous to develop new programs, joint ventures with Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, and Yugoslavia.
Mm-hmm.
So they offered me a job to head this new business development project for the Eastern European countries. And they set up my office in Vienna, where I could easily, you know, touch those countries. With direct flights to Budapest, Bucharest,
mm-hmm.
Sofia, and I started working on these projects, and we were successful developing several joint ventures with those countries for GM, and they were building like truck components, delivering it to Detroit and to England. In Yugoslavia, developed a foundry to make steel components for the Opel division of GM.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm.
So it started out like a successful joint development program until the Russians moved into Afghanistan.
Ah.
And in 80, they ran over Afghanistan. I think Carter was the president at the time. And they set up an embargo against Russia and the communist countries. So it was a Cold War again.
I say yes.
So at the time, GM also had second thoughts and said, well, this is not going to work out. So let's complete whatever projects we have in the works, but discontinue any new joint venture development.
Yes. So how long did you stay in Austria?
Only 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I moved to Europe in 78, and in 80, this program was finished. And since I was already in Europe, GM decided to use me for a different project.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, at Opel in Rüsselsheim, Germany, they developed a new small car, the Opel Corsa, for European application, and a new factory to be built for this car in Spain.
I see.
So they transferred me to Germany, and I spent 2 years in Germany working with the Opel people in the developing of this new car and designing and staffing up the new factory in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
So I was assigned, was the director of quality assurance, which included, you know, inspection, laboratory testing, quality engineering. So I started hiring people for the Spanish factory and training the people.
Mm, I see.
So we had a special air flight between Zaragoza, Spain and Frankfurt, Germany, where we brought plane loads of people to Germany to work for 3 weeks time to get experience right on the floor, and then bring a new group here there. So we had an extensive training program, hiring and training program going on.
Okay.
So after 2 years, when the factory was built in the meantime, I moved along with a group of technical people, Opel people, to Zaragoza, Spain.
Mm-hmm.
To start up this new factory. And I stayed in Spain for 2 years until the production was running up to the full two-shift 1,200 car a day volume. And when everything was running fairly smooth, we turned over the management to the Spanish people.
I see.
And then I returned in 84 to Santa Barbara, the same place I left from.
I see. Did you then never worked on any form of extraterrestrial lunar vehicle design? The LRV was the only one, correct?
Well, no, before the LRV.
Oh, yes. That information I do have,
yeah.
Yes.
And we also worked on the Surveyor program.
Yes.
With the Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
Okay.
Where we designed a small autonomous remote controlled rover for JPL.
Okay.
And that was in the mid-60s.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I want to double check the spelling of both your first and your last name.
Okay.
Go ahead. The first name is spelled?
F-E-R-E-N-C.
Okay. E-N-C. All right.
And the last name is P-A-V-L-I-C-S.
Okay. I've got the last name correct, so I corrected the first one. Well, good. Did you get a doctorate degree or a master's degree at all?
Well, I graduated from the University of Budapest.
Mm-hmm.
As a diploma engineer.
Okay.
And then when I got to Detroit, Michigan, I got a master's in engineering mechanics at the University of Michigan.
I see, okay.
I never had a doctor's degree except honorary doctor's degree.
I see, okay. When I complete this rough draft on the engineering chapter, I could send the portions of it where I quote you to you. Would you like me to email them to you or mail you a rough draft, a hard copy?
I mean, you could email it to me.
Okay, and what's your email address?
My email address is PAV.
PAV.
28.
28.
FER.
FER.
@AOL.com.
All right, terrific. I'll go ahead and send you an email tomorrow confirming that we had the interview, and that way you'll have my email address also. And I really appreciate you speaking to me because it's been decades since this program has finished, and it's a real pleasure to be able to speak with someone who was directly involved with the program still, because many people have gone to where I can't. They can't possibly be located, so I'm glad Mr. Romano told me where I could reach you.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. History.
Yes. Thanks so much for talking
okay,
with
you're
me tonight,
welcome.
And I'll be sure to get a copy of this to you as I finish it up, so you can read it and make any changes you may want.
Okay.
Thanks so much again.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night.